Hello, I'm Luke Halpern from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. Today, we have Jennifer Griffin on the podcast to discuss how pharmacists can counsel patients on proper inhaler usage and steps pharmacists can take to manage asthma and cardiovascular risks for those who use inhalers. Jennifer, it's great to be with you today. Would you care to introduce yourself to the audience?
Thanks, Luke. I'm happy to be here. So my name is Jennifer Griffin. I am a pharmacist, and I work as the clinical pharmacist for Harps Food Stores. And I specialize in medical billing, point-of-care testing and treatment workflow, and marketing our clinical services. Like I said, I'm a pharmacist, so I earned my Doctor of Pharmacy degree from Harding University College of Pharmacy in Searcy, Arkansas. And I also have a Master of Science degree in health promotion, so I do have a little bit of background in health promotion and health education. So I'm really excited to share with what I get to talk to my patients about almost every day.
Fantastic. And we're happy to have you on the show, Jennifer, because this is definitely a super important topic, especially as I feel like more people are developing these allergies and asthma that require inhaler usage. And inhalers can be kind of a difficult tool to understand and use effectively. So just to get started, would you be able to discuss some of the most common mistakes that patients make when using inhalers? And how can pharmacists help address these mistakes during counseling sessions?
Yeah. So starting with the first part of that question, so the most common mistakes that patients make when using inhalers, there's honestly a wide variety of mistakes that patient can make when using inhalers, because inhaler usage it's so much more involved than just swallowing a tablet. The most common mistakes that I see is really incorrect inhaler technique. So are patients using the proper breathing technique? And I'll probably use this example a lot today, but is the patient coordinating their inhalation with pressing down on the top of a canister if they're using a metered dose inhaler, or if they're using a dry powder inhaler? Are they breathing in forcefully and deeply? So that goes back to, again, in proper inhaler technique. Again, staying in that same category, are they taking in their puff and then holding their breath for about 10 seconds or as long as comfortably possible? Because you don't want to, especially with albuterol, you don't want to take a puff and then exhale right away. You're going to not receive that full dose. And then another one that I feel like patients think, wow, I've never heard that before, is, for example, with albuterol, if your directions say inhale 2 puffs every 4 to 6 hours, you're supposed to wait about a minute in between those 2 puffs. So again, using proper inhaler technique is a big one. A couple other things that I see pretty commonly is patients may not be consistent using their maintenance inhalers. So they may not understand which one's their maintenance versus which one is their rescue inhaler. So they may not be using their maintenance inhaler consistently, or they may be overusing their albuterol inhaler because they're like, wow, this works really fast and it works well. So those are just some common mistakes that I see. And then the second part of your question, how can pharmacists address these during counseling sessions? So I think a lot of this can be addressed by providing proper counseling when you have that initial counseling session with the patient. If the patient's okay with you pulling their inhaler out of the box, pull it out of the box and demo it for them. Let them know all the steps that they need to properly use the device. And obviously tailor the counseling specifically to the device that they are using, and give the patient those step-by-step instructions. And then looking at the maintenance versus using maintenance inhalers and the adherence of that, and then overusing albuterol inhalers, you can address a lot of that at follow-up by looking at the patient's fill history, because that can tell us a lot about their inhaler usage. And so if there's a long delay between someone's maintenance inhaler, they may think they only have to use it as needed. And so again, that fill history can tell us so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's becoming increasingly prevalent that asthma and inhaler usage is prevalent throughout multiple subgroups in different demographics, especially pediatrics, elderly patients, those with varying levels of health literacy. People may have different understandings on how to use the inhaler, especially, you know, pediatrics depends on counseling the parents and guardians, while elderly may have less understanding of an inhaler than, you know, a adult or a young adult. With all these different patient populations, how are you tailoring inhaler education for these different groups as a pharmacist?
Yeah. So this is so, so important because we want to make sure that our patients can properly get the full dose that they need to treat their condition. So part of the counseling session, we want to make sure that the inhaler prescribed is going to be well suited to the patient. For example, if I'm counseling an elderly patient in front of me, I want to know if they're going to be able to, again, properly coordinate their inhalation with the pressing of the top of the canister. And if they can't coordinate that, then we may need to make some recommendations. They may need a spacer, or we may want to try a different inhaler entirely. And so that's where a conversation with the patient can then lead to us having a conversation with the provider to get the patient the best inhaler for them to manage their disease state. And then talking about spacers, we see that a lot with pediatric patients. And so spacers can be super helpful to help patients receive that full dose prescribed. So this was something that I heard early on in my pharmacist career. Another pharmacist gave this recommendation to a parent of an infant, and it's something that I like to use now. So with pediatric patients, particularly the very young patients, we tell parents to hand your child the spacer and let them just hold on to it and just play with it so they get comfortable with it. And so it's not like some unknown object just coming towards their face. Like, this helps it to not be as scary of an experience because they've held the device, they played with it, they know kind of what it feels like on their face. So that's something that we like to counsel parents of young children whenever we use spacers. And then also talking about patients with low health literacy, the demonstration piece can be even more important here. And even having the patient teach back to you how they're going to use their inhaler whenever they get home. And as a general point, whenever we're counseling on anything, we want to use patient-friendly language. We're not going to talk to patients the way we talk to other healthcare providers. For example, and I know I'm going to say this, give this example a lot, but we don't want to say coordinate, actuation with inspiration. Like, I would be shocked if somebody said that to me and gave me instructions like that. But we want to instead say, press down on the top of the canister and breathe in at the same time. That makes so much more sense to really anybody.
Absolutely. And I think the most critical part about that is that the patient-centered language, just like putting it into their perspective, into words they understand, could go a long way into making them more adherent and more likely to return for follow-up. So I think that's a great point there.
Right.
And just moving on to, we're talking about inhalers, but there's so many different types of inhalers out there. How do you personally stay up to date with all the different inhalers that are growing onto the market? And also in your practice, ensure patients are matched up with the correct device that best suits their specific needs and abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are so many different inhalers and different combinations. So to be honest, whenever I first started learning about all of the different inhalers as a pharmacy student, it was difficult and so overwhelming. And even since becoming a pharmacist, there have been updates and guidelines, and there have been new inhalers that have come to market that I've had to research. If I don't know something about an inhaler, I just go look it up. Whatever pharmacist or pharmacy resource you use, whether it be like Facts and Comparisons, go there and read about it. The more experienced pharmacists, and they've encouraged me to do that because they're like, even I have to go back and look things up. And so don't feel like you have to know everything about every inhaler because there are so many on the market. I do think that there are some wonderful charts out there that break down the different ingredients in different inhalers. So does this inhaler contain a long-acting beta agonist? Does it contain a long-acting muscarinic antagonist? Does this one have an inhaled corticosteroid? That's knowing the ingredients is really going to guide your counseling, and then knowing the type of inhaler is going to guide your counseling. So there are some good charts out there that I've seen. And then staying on top of the guidelines for asthma and COPD. So looking at GINA guidelines, those are going to be the asthma ones, GINA, and then the GOLD guidelines for COPD, GOLD, is where you can go to look up the most recent guidelines and then the updates year after year. Also, if pharmacists feel like this is a topic that they want to learn more about, seeking out continuing education courses that talk about inhalers can be a great resource. And then, like I said earlier, giving the example of me hearing another pharmacist counseling a patient, I learned so much from my coworkers. I'll hear the way that they explain something, or they'll give an analogy, and I think to myself, that is fantastic. I'm going to steal that and use that in my future counseling sessions. So really learning from your coworkers and the people around you can be super helpful.
100%. Definitely. And we were talking about counseling, obviously, throughout this first part of the discussion. And inhaler counseling, especially sitting down with the patient, showing them how to use it, mm-hmm. when to use it, is critical. Could you walk us through what a typical comprehensive inhaler counseling session should look like, from the first prescription to follow-up visits?
Okay. So I like to start by finding out what the patient knows about the medication. Even if like it is an albuterol inhaler, we obviously know what these medications are used for, but I want to know, what is the patient's baseline knowledge? I'll ask them, well, what did the doctor tell you about this medication? Using those questions to get the patient talking. Then I like to explain the purpose of the inhaler. Is the inhaler that I'm counseling on, is it a maintenance inhaler or is it a rescue inhaler? So I want them to know what place each inhaler has in their course of therapy. And then I'll kind of dive into the step-by-step instructions on how to use that particular inhaler. And then I'll end with any kind of special instructions like rinse your mouth after use, if that's applicable to the inhaler. Do you want me to walk through how I would counsel maybe on an albuterol inhaler?
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great.
So when I give inhaler counseling examples, I like to use albuterol because it's so frequently prescribed, especially during cough and cold season. We're counseling on these all the time. So if a patient tells me that they have had an albuterol inhaler before, but it's just been a while, I usually take that as an opportunity to say, let me go over the steps real quick, just as a reminder. Again, in these situations, they usually hear something that they've never heard before. So if I've never counseled this patient, I really like to review the steps. So referring specifically to an albuterol inhaler, I'll give them the instructions, and sometimes I'll pull it out of the box and show them, but I'll tell them to shake the inhaler gently. And if you're pulling it out of the box for the first time, you want to give it a few test sprays to get it ready to use. You're going to remove the cap, if it has one, and you're going to exhale completely. You're going to place your lips around the mouthpiece and create a firm seal. And then you're going to press down on the top of the canister while breathing in slowly and deeply. Then you'll remove the inhaler from your mouth and hold your breath for about 10 seconds, or as long as you comfortably can, because some patients can't hold their breath that long. So just as long as they can. And then they'll exhale slowly. And then if their directions say to do more than one puff, then we'll have them, I'll instruct them to wait a minute before they repeat those steps over again. Waiting that minute is really just going to allow them to get that full dose and allow it to start working.
Yeah, it seems very patient-centered and you know, letting them kind of lead the discussion, if you will.
Yeah. And I can't express to you how often people who have even used an albuterol inhalers before will say, wow, I didn't know some of that. And so that just, it shows me the importance of reminding patients of the instructions, because they may have heard this before, but they may not remember it if it's been a while since they've used an inhaler.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You mentioned the technique, obviously. The inhaler technique is a huge part of it. How can pharmacists, since we've already gone over how important technique is, how can pharmacists like adequately measure or track a patient's technique over time to see how it's evolving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I kind of talked about the fill history and looking at that. That's what a lot of the follow-up is going to be, is looking at fill history, at least in my situation. That's the fill history is what I have to go off of. And it can tell me so much about, are they being adherent with their maintenance inhaler? For example, I may see that a patient, they got a 1 month supply of their maintenance inhaler and they haven't refilled it in like 3 months, but I've been seeing that they've been consistently refilling their albuterol inhaler every month. That, if I see that, that's going to prompt a conversation. So a lot of it is looking at that fill history to know if I need to have another conversation in the near future with them. But measuring that technique, it plays such a large role, because if they're not using the inhaler correctly, they're running the risk of not getting their full dose, mm-hmm. Leading to an inadequate treatment. And depending on how serious their asthma or COPD is, this can lead to exacerbations and a potential hospital visit. And we also see, and this can be said about a lot of different disease state management, but sometimes we'll see patients receive an escalation in therapy, but honestly, the reason why they're not improving or being stable on their current treatment is because of the lack of proper inhaler technique or improper adherence. And so we don't really need to escalate their therapy. We just need to re-educate on how to properly use their inhaler.
Yeah, absolutely. Education is a huge part of it, and just giving patients all the resources they need to be able to adequately use their inhaler on their own is key. So definitely agree with you there. You mentioned how you were working in a community pharmacy. So you likely have a very unique perspective on how community pharmacists are handling inhaler counseling with patients. How can, as you sure know, community pharmacies often deal with time constraints and challenges with workflows. How can community pharmacies and the pharmacists within them overcome these challenges to prioritize proper inhaler counseling in busy practice settings?
Yeah, so workflow is something I am super passionate about. So, Luke, you may have to stop me if I go on too long. But my answer to this question is kind of twofold. And I know it's, so with the first part, I know it's easier said than done. And trust me, I work in these busy environments. And when you have the phones ringing off the hook, you have insurance issues in the drive-through that are holding up the whole line, and you have people over on the bench waiting on you to verify their prescriptions, it can be difficult to feel like you have the time to have these in-depth counseling sessions. But understanding that this is imperative to the health of the person standing in front of you, something you say to them can impact the entire course of their treatment because you took the time to tell the patient, for example, if they're using an inhaled corticosteroid, to rinse their mouth out with water and spit after each use. You may have just kept that patient from getting thrush. So that's the first part of my answer, is understanding that counseling session is so important. And then in addition to remembering the importance of proper counseling is having a proper workflow in place. That's essential to freeing the pharmacist up to perform these tasks. So in our pharmacies, this looks like delegating all non-clinical tasks to our pharmacy technicians. The technicians should be the ones that are entering in new prescriptions. They're the one handling insurance issues and dispensing the medications. Another way to free yourself up in the pharmacy is to implement a medication synchronization program where you sync up a patient's maintenance medications and you fill them at the same time each month.
This I've heard a lot about med sync programs recently.
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing. It keeps patients who have like maybe 5, 6, 7 prescriptions from walking in and saying, I'm completely out of these. Can you fill them now? MedSync helps you transition a lot of your prescriptions from being needed acutely to actually being planned for. And pharmacists and pharmacies, they have different ways that they'll structure their MedSync program. But I know that in my pharmacy, when I have MedSync drop into my queue, I have 5 days to finish those up. And so that means that I have the time to step aside and pull this patient maybe away from the front counter. If you have a dedicated counseling area, pull the patient aside and take that time to really invest in them and their therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a great way to tie a bow in this conversation, and just putting the patient first generally is
absolutely
definitely the most important consideration. So Jennifer, these were all great insights that you provided to me and the audience. Is there anything else that you would like to add before you finish things up for this conversation?
I don't think I touched on this. I may have alluded to it a little bit, but I want to add how important it is to ask open-ended questions when it comes to assessing inhaler technique. It's going to provide you with so much more information than just a yes or no question. Because if you ask a patient, are you using your inhaler correctly? Obviously, they're probably going to say yes. Or if you ask them, have you missed any doses? They may say no, just to maybe end the conversation. But having the patient asking them, well, tell me how you're using your inhaler, or have them bring it in and let them demonstrate to you how they're using it so you can then identify any problems. So I think that's something that's really important whenever you're counseling.
Absolutely. Kind of putting the onus on them, like, show me that you can do it and tell me that, you know, you're able to use it effectively.
Well, yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah. And it's all to help them and all for their benefit. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this was a super insightful conversation, Jennifer. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to talk about this important topic with me. And I definitely know the audience learned a lot about inhaler uses today and proper techniques, and hopefully gained some insights that they could implement at their practice themselves. So thank you again, Jennifer. I really appreciate it. And thank you all for listening to this week's episode of Pharmacy Focus.
Thank you for having me.